Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
As you know, we've gotten and gathered great guests and many of our colleagues that we speak to on a regular basis here on Kaya Biz just to help us understand what the expectations for the year ahead are. And today, to help us understand South Africa's 2026 economic outlook, we might be living in a very fragile world, underpinned by geopolitics, uncertainty. But, as you've just heard, there are some contributing factors that are working in our favor as South Africa. To help us unpack this further, we're joined by Chief Economist for Momentum Investments, Sanisha Pakrasamy. Sanisha, happy 2026. Such a pleasure to have you back on the show. Oh, Sanisha, I do see that. Seems as though we have you on mute. And let's try and press a few buttons. There we go. We've got you loud and clear now.
It's got me loud and clear now, Google.
Yes, ma'am. Welcome back to the show and happy 2026.
Good evening to you and wishing all your listeners a prosperous year ahead. I heard that you said this was your first day back. So I was one of those unfortunate souls that has been back for a week, but at least I don't have the... The first day, jitters.
Yeah, jitters, fatigue, anxiety. But we know why you had to and have an early start. You literally help run the economy, right? So that's why
it's always economic news that keeps you on your toes. So you have to go off late for holiday and come back quite early.
That's true. And speaking of that, Sanisha, maybe that's a good point for us to reflect on, just in terms of 2025, the year that was, and the economic news that still made it into the December news flow. But if you had to characterize South Africa's economic performance for the year that has just passed, what would it entail?
I would say that, you know, looking back at the start of 2025, the view for South Africa was far more pessimistic than what actually materialized. And so by the end of the year, we had, you know, growth that was still reasonably modest. But I would say what did come back is the vote of confidence in South Africa. And so that was, you know, coupled with the strengthening of the currency, a very favorable commodity price mix for South Africa. You know, we had some news on reform efforts that have continued to chug along at a steady pace, promising better growth prospects further out. Mm-hmm. We had inflation that was quite well behaved, and more importantly, inflation expectations have also reacted quite positively to the announcement of a lower inflation target. And I think that opens the door for the South African Reserve Bank to potentially cut interest rates by a bit more. And so that altogether in the mix does suggest that it should be a little bit of a better year for the South African consumer.
Ooh, sounds like music to our ears, Sanisha, when we hear interest rate cut. For those of us who have access to credit, it's good news. Savers, we might complain as well, but fundamentally seems as though things are moving positively, but there are international factors that we also need to consider. So when we look at what's happening regarding geopolitics, even in the US, whether it's in the Far East as well, how does that shape and influence some of the economic decisions that will be made locally?
I think you're spot on with that. You know, the outlook is still very tightly tethered to the global political outlook, the ongoing trade tensions and protectionist policies out there, you know, and that's coupled with some of the domestic political tests that we still have to face this year in terms of the local government elections. But I think there are some big key themes playing out on the global front that South Africa can't shy away from. So the fact that we are expecting the foreign policy stance, particularly in that of the United States, to continue hardening this year. You know, protectionism is not something that's happening on the sidelines. It's very centrist now to what is happening in the economy. That does mean that we're going to have a far more fragmented global trade system. And ultimately, it means that there's going to be structurally higher uncertainty for markets and investment across the globe. And I think, you know, South Africa's part and parcel of that being a small open economy, with a freely floating exchange rate. Now, you know, fortunately, we did see that domestic demand and supply chain rerouting did help to cushion the blow from tariffs. So we actually had a bigger global slowdown being prevented over the course of 2025. But we are starting to see some cracks coming through in things like the labor market in the US economy, in a slightly weaker consumer confidence there. And that does have a negative spill over into other areas of the economy through the impact of markets. Yeah. But again, again, I think the biggest impact on the world economy is going to be the shift in the foreign policy stance. And, you know, we got a little bit of an inkling on that with the national security document that came out in the United States late last year. And then, of course, that continued with the interactions in Venezuela and then more recently the noise around Cuba.
Got you. And I think that's also important for us to understand that those particular factors could still play an influence in our economic fundamentals. And maybe let's start on the first theme that builds up from a conversation we just wrapped up a moment ago with Andre Salia. Currency expected to continue to strengthen, but what are our inflation forecasts for this year, especially given the fact that we have a new target of 3% following the alignment between National Treasury as well as the SARB?
Reasonably optimistic on the inflation front, and what the South African Reserve Bank has shown us in some of the prior documents that they've published is that inflation volatility, not only at a headline level, but also at a core level, which is an underlying measure, once you strip out the volatile items like food and fuel, we have actually seen volatility in these measures coming down quite substantially. And that is a big vote of confidence in the credibility of the South African Reserve Bank to stick to the inflation target and to protect purchasing power for consumers. Of course, we've had the blessing of a much appreciated currency in the recent while, and that means that all the things that South Africa imports will also come down in price, and that will also help to alleviate pressure on the inflation figures. So we are expecting inflation not quite to get yet at that 3% level, but definitely within the new target range that's been spelled out by the Reserve Bank, quite comfortably so. Of course, there are still some risks that prevail out there, such as electricity tariffs and the like. But for the large part, we've got still reasonably subdued demand, so that's not putting a lot of pressure on inflation. And of course, we've got the currency and food prices that are behaving quite well alongside the oil price. And we are net importers of oil. So again, you know, the stars are aligning on the South African inflation front, and that should allow the South African Reserve Bank to entertain the idea of potentially easing a bit further this year.
How many interest rate cuts are you pricing in?
We think we could get at least two in this particular year, and perhaps maybe even some in 2027. I wouldn't say that, you know, we are, you know, very close to the end of the interest rate cutting cycle. A lot will depend on the trajectory of the currency, continued fiscal prudence. So I don't think that the Reserve Bank will, you know, take their eye off the ball in that regard. So I think that, you know, interest rate cuts will be quite measured. But as we stand today, the real repo, so if you take the nominal interest rate and subtract out inflation, it's currently sitting at around 3%, which could mean that, you know, monetary policy is still slightly restrictive, giving them a little bit of room to continue cutting.
Got you. On the other hand, what does this then mean for consumers? But more importantly, business confidence, because this also then influences the amount of capital or investment that is rolled out.
Well, this is what we've all been waiting for. I think it's that big kicker to business and consumer confidence. Now, we had a slight lift in the last consumer confidence number. We are still operating below that 50 mark level, which is kind of your neutral level between a contracting economy and an expanding economy. But I think we also need to look at it directionally, that there was some improvement that came through. The same thing with your consumer sentiment figures. You know, these are still in negative territory, but they are starting to lift. And this is really the cheapest form of stimulus the economy can get, as our president spelled out in a number of State of the Nation addresses. And I think that once we can get this kick-started, it will have a positive influence on things like investment and growth in the economy. And so I think what businesses are really waiting for is some stability on the political front and further momentum behind structural reform efforts in order to enhance the energy space, the logistics space, as well as the water areas.
Oh, certainly. That will be so critical to make sure that business does continue investing. This might be premature of me, Sanisha, but if I'm not mistaken, the 18th of Feb, you and I and many of our colleagues in business and finance will be in Cape Town for the national budget speech. And this is where we want to hear more details around the fiscal consolidation and structural reforms that you've alluded to briefly. Any expectations as to what that would have to entail? I ask this being fully aware that a year ago, we had a very different experience of the budget speech essentially being postponed for the first time under the leadership of the GNU.
I think, you know, this time around, I think they have ironed out some of those complications that arose leading us to a budget 1.0, 2.0, and 3.0. It looks as though Parliament has set the date for the budget for the 25th of February. And I think, you know, what's going to come out of there is going to be vital for our sovereign ratings outlook. It's going to be vital for monetary policy space that's created for the South African Reserve Bank. But I think in large part, the politicians understand the need to stick to the path for fiscal consolidation and debt stabilization. We've been helped out by lower bond yields. And so, you know, when we look at our 10-year government bond yield, we had quite a significant rally that took place over the course of 2025. And that, of course, then helps us to effectively have lower borrowing costs. So just to give you an idea of that, we actually had our 10-year bond yield strengthening by 186 basis points over the course of 2025. So that is quite a big move in terms of lowering the interest burden for government. And then it does start to open up a little bit of space for government to start spending on things like service delivery.
Definitely. We were certainly looking forward to holding them to account. And thank you for the update on that budget speech date. It's going to be a busy year, but a fulfilling one nonetheless. Sanisha, always a pleasure speaking to you, ma'am.
Lovely to chat with you, Gugu. Take care.
Likewise, that is Sanisha Pakrasamy, Chief Economist from Momentum Investments. So as you heard, 2025, not a bad year at all. 2026, expectations are that we will continue on this particular momentum. And that's important, right? It's typically when we score the own goals that things do fall apart in South Africa. Consider load shedding, consider infrastructure failures that we've seen. But over the last few, 12 to 18 months, significant levels of reforms have been implemented to make sure that we just make sure that we go beyond just being a functional economy with subpar growth and really trying to boost the lights out, shoot the lights out. But let me know your thoughts, right? Potential for two interest rate cuts as a saver, as a someone with access to credit, how do you feel about it? Just your thoughts on the economy and do things feel lighter? And I know that it's often a conflicting one, right? Because South Africa's economy is a duopoly. We're still struggling with high levels of unemployment, specifically within the youth, specifically for black females. And then in urban areas where we've got heightened levels of access to education and economic opportunities, black young females like myself can be propellers of the economy through the growth and the entrepreneurship and the employment opportunities that we're able to seek. So there's always these interesting dynamics we need to be mindful of. Never mind just the outcomes of how best it is that we are investing in our people and our communities. And I say this because as I sit in studio right now, I'm looking at a TV screen in front of me, Newsroom Africa, together with many of our media peers in television, like the SABC, ENCA, all publishing and broadcasting the outcomes of the Matric 2025 results. Lovely to celebrate all these young South Africans, vibrant contributors to education and the institutions that have served them well. But let's not forget about the others who might be left at the periphery. How do we make sure that they are gainfully employed? How do we make sure that they're just economically active and making sure that they too contribute to the economy in some way? Share your thoughts, 0636880959. Always look forward to hearing from you. Stay with us. In a moment, we will touch on a key story that has influenced the business agenda in the last 2 weeks, and that is the outcomes of Discovery Medical Aid giving us an update and doing a U-turn regarding costs that had impacted many of their members of the medical aid scheme. We'll give you an update on that in just a moment.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.